Tonight, we do a double dip for New Music Monday as Tess Considine returns to the Showcase studio, and then later, Peter Jolly performs. We also have one of our favorite sidecars back, Paul Farvar. All that and much more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Hello, hello. It is Monday night in the Allstate Showcase studio, November, what is it, the 21st, Paul Farvar?
Yeah.
This month is moving at a clip, I would say. I know there's been a lot going on in November. The Cubs won the World Series. We had our election. Now we head right into Thanksgiving. Do you have big plans for Thanksgiving?
I am going to Champaign to have Thanksgiving with my family, my brother and his family, and they're vegan, so there will not be a turkey.
Okay.
So I'm upset about it, but I might be bringing, my mom said she might bring a turkey for me.
Can I invite you to an event that evening? Are you staying the night in Champaign?
No, I'll be back.
Come back, and I will have all the fixings right here in the Allstate Showcase studio. I will have cornbread stuffing, and I will have turkey breast, and I will have sweet potatoes. So come and do the show with us Thursday night. It's my second Thanksgiving, so we've been doing this. Last year, Craig, how many people would you say showed up? It was a total of how many people besides you, me, and Roger Badish?
Zero.
Zero people showed up to our. The year before, the studio was packed. We had Adam Selzer. We had Dr. Daniela. We had Dr. Charles Turk. I mean, the studio was packed. We had all kinds of food.
Mark Carmen claims he showed up, though, didn't he? Was he already in the building or something?
Yes,
and he came down?
Yes. Yeah. We had a lot of food for a few people. I'll have cranberry dressing, all that kind of. Cranberry dressing. Cranberry chutney is what I have.
Is there going to be like cots for the tryptophan when it
I'm
kicks
thinking
in?
About getting a hotel room for afterwards, okay. Like a big slumber party, just like nearby.
With turkey, and everyone gets to like take home some turkey and eat
yes.
it to help them sleep. It's
well,
like Xanax.
Do me a favor. Yes. Bring me. If you would please bring me some of the leftovers from this party that you're
the
going
vegan
to.
Party?
The vegan party.
I will.
Bring some Ziploc bags.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of them.
I was talking to someone. Do you think there's an etiquette? There should be, obviously, some etiquette to whether or not you bring your own leftover containers. There are people who show up with their own Tupperware and Ziploc bags, fully assuming that they're going to.
Presumptuous, isn't
it? A little bit.
I think if you're like close enough family, like that makes sense because you know no one's going to eat everything. But I also feel like the person who's hosting it knows that they're going to have leftovers. So they must have purchased some Ziploc bags.
I think that the host should either individually or a group email say, hey, don't forget to bring something to bring home some leftovers for yourselves. And if you don't get that email, don't assume.
I would just keep it in a bag. And then when they go, oh, there's leftovers, I go, I brought my own container.
It just so happens. I love that.
Or just like go with your plate and then put an extra while you're eating, just keep putting like
into your purse.
Stuff. Yeah, not a
bag.
Purse.
Here's
a
line.
Bag.
Yeah. No, you line the bag. With a Ziploc.
Mm-hmm. Line your purse with a Ziploc bag and you shovel in just like one bite for me, one bite for the purse.
For later, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I like that too. My in-laws are hosting Thanksgiving this year and I will probably stay home with my mom and Declan. It gets a little chaotic. And there will also possibly be some political conversations that will take place.
That's going to be interesting.
For a lot of people. I was talking to friends of mine at Zany's. There's a woman who works there that is, in a relationship with another woman. And her brother is sort of being a little haughty about the election results. I don't know if haughty is
you always use words that I have to like later make sure that
haughty, kind of condescending and snarky about it.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of almost too boastful.
Okay.
And I guess people are saying, well, if the other side had won, it would have been the same thing. Except that, the Nazis probably wouldn't have showed up in D.C. is probably the alternate, reality that's going on.
It's a different world.
It's a different world.
It's a little bit
of a different world. So that's one of the reasons I think my sister-in-law, one of them has worked for the, her husband is on the Karl Rove's defense team. And so things get a little bit colorful at the holidays. I think I've told this story before. We were playing a game called White Elephant, which is where you bring a gift and it's wrapped. And it's basically a grab bag. You pick a number, which order you're going to open up some surprise gift, right? So all the tables are
the limits? Like, is there a price limit
yes,
on this?
It has to be between $20 and $30. You have to have a receipt. So if someone doesn't like it, they can return it. But you can also steal. If it's your turn, and let's say seven gifts have already been opened, you can steal a gift from that person, and then they have to go ahead back to the table and open something else. right? Oh. So there were about 17 or 18 people.
Can you end up with what you brought?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
And I have thought about that, but I, you know, you also, there's something fun about opening something mysterious.
Yeah, but at least you have a backup plan.
Yes, and okay. If you buy, you could buy something that you really like and then open it yourself. But for the most part, it seems as though people do it for the adventure of it. But let's call my sister-in-law Catherine. Because that's not
with
her name.
With a C or K?
With a C.
Okay.
Because she's a C. Okay. So Catherine's sitting next to me. And I never steal from anybody because it just, like, people get disappointed when they pick something that they like or they really seem to enjoy it. So I was going to open a new gift. And Catherine, with a C, said, Patty, why don't you steal your Mexican? And everybody in the room, like, gasped because they were like, oh! And it took every ounce of energy that I have to control the muscles in my body, not to just lunge at her. And my husband was, Steve was sitting next to me and he was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, should I go? Should I stay? I should probably stay. Like, he was so terrified. And I just kept my cool. And, you know, Steve and I sat down and talked about it later because she's done these, you know, she has said things before, like, you know, she couldn't believe how Mexican my boys look. And, you know, she said, and I'm like, I don't, what does that even mean? Like, are they going around the house clearing off tables while riding a donkey? I don't know what you're talking about.
Smacked her in the mouth.
You know, my sister-in-law, Catherine, let's call her Catherine. She is completely unaware. I remember after that, not long after, I would say maybe a year or two afterwards, she and I never were able to connect. Like the first time I met her, she goes, hi, I'm Catherine. It's Catherine with a C. I understand that you're Mexican. So tell me, do you feel like a Mexican?
People can't see your facial expressions as you're saying this. So I think that's important to the
mental
story.
Memory of it. Yeah, the sort of facial.
Yeah.
I just, the very first time I met her, I had only been dating Steve for a week when I met Catherine. I met his entire family. And she said, I understand that you're Mexican. So tell me, do you feel like a Mexican?
Huh.
And I didn't know what that meant. Like, when I burp, do I taste a taco? I'm not sure what you're going for.
Yeah.
So she's always sort of going out of her way to make me feel other. And this is a year in particular where I feel like, you know what? I'm going to just sort of circle the wagons and hang out with my mom and my son, my mother who is from Mexico, and my son who has special needs, who apparently don't have a place in the new administration. So I'm going to go ahead and hang out and home with my family.
Seems like a safe bet.
It seems like a very safe bet. Are you going to have any sort of, do you think there's going to be any sort of contention or conflict?
It's going to be different because my brother's family is his wife is very liberal. So it, she's very supportive of animal rights, which is why she's vegan. My brother's vegan and their kids are vegetarian. And my dad is a Republican, mm-hmm. and he hasn't said one way or the other who he's voted for. So we don't know.
But
so there could be some politics.
But he's not being sort of like get over it buttercup or stop being butthurt kind of stuff.
He's not saying that because I think he doesn't. I think he's not very upset with the results.
He's not very upset. Well, that's, yeah. But he's also not. I mean, I don't know what the anger is coming from people who are mad at the people who are disappointed. I don't know why they have such a high level of outrage and are offended by people who are disappointed.
It was like, you know, I just did a show tonight, and being the oldest person in the room, I was reminded of the Gore Bush election where there were people.
Gore also won the popular vote.
Yeah, and they had a sign that said "Sore Loserman." I don't know if you remember those.
Like, I don't remember that.
They were shirt. They had shirts and signs that were like, people are being sort of losers. So there was that same kind of
sentiment. And this year they're just wearing, you know, white hoods and
white
showing
hoods.
Up in D.C. Yeah, the Klan. I think when you align yourself with the Klan, you are headed in the right direction. We are having Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I'm so
great
thrilled.
Transition.
We are thrilled to welcome two groups tonight. And by groups, I mean musicians, because we have Tess Considine, who is, in fact, our most popular musician who has ever appeared on our show. I believe it's your 13th appearance. I think it's 13. So we are going to come back from the break. She's appearing this Saturday night at Uncommon Ground. And when we come back, we will hear her live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. More after this on 720 WG. What was that? I got all like, I had a weird accent there, Paul. WJN.
It's that Mexican coming out.
Oh, there it is. That Mexican.
Circling the wagons.
WGN, 720 AM. It's pretty late. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Joining me is comedian and also podcast host of Singles Only, Paul Farvar.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. And I'm so sorry, but Tess does not need any. What do you play?
I play the djembe and bass and guitar. I was in a lot of bands. Typically, I offer up my services to play with the artist, but I forgot to bring my djembe tonight. So you're on your own. Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I would have contributed. Yes. But
I know. He's been trying to audition for every musician we have in studio. But we are so thrilled to welcome back once again one of our favorite musicians, singer, songwriter, Tess Considine, who is in town for the holidays. And I know she has so many things going on. We're always thrilled that we can be a part of her schedule when she comes back into town. She's playing on Saturday night at Uncommon Ground, but she is live in the Allstate Showcase Studio right now with All in December.
All in December, for coals and hidden treasures. Underneath the layers that you wear, midnight kisses against my hair. Only remember perfume and velvet pleasures, cold pressed hands on city streets, photographs you took of me. All in December. Red heels and an emerald dress, glass of champagne, you'll finish the rest for me. Always remember, cold nights with extra honey, late night talking till the morning. While we're sleeping, we were dreaming. I pray that I'll still hold you, call me a romantic, I adore you. And I'll meet you at the state line. Call me a romantic. Call me a romantic. I adore you. All in December. Powder blush on the tip of your nose. Ice cold air, rooftops of fire below. Warms me up when you get close. Time to remember. Tattooed into our souls. Needle your love into our bones. Don't wake me up, just hold me closer. I pray that I'll still hold you. Call me a romantic. I adore you. And I'll meet you at the state line. Call me a romantic. Call me a romantic. And I pray that I'll still hold you. Call me a romantic. I adore you. And I'll meet you at the state line. Call me a romantic. Call me a romantic. I adore you. I adore you.
All in December.
All in December. Do I have her microphone? Are we good with the... Hey, Tess, how's it going?
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, I can hear you over there.
Over here?
It's up to you.
This is good.
This is good. Yeah. All right. Stay there with the guitar. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio with Tess Considine, and that was her song, All in December. And I know that you've got a couple more weeks. So you're here for Thanksgiving and then back to Interlochen for the rest of, the winter session, I guess.
Yeah.
How is it? That's a beautiful song. And that's obviously a new one.
It's a new one, yes.
And have you played that one before?
No, first time.
See?
On the air.
Paul, so Tess has been coming on since she was 15?
Yeah, 15.
15 years old and was one of our first musicians, as a matter of fact.
Amazing.
And she has come on several times with a song she's never played anywhere else. I mean, that's not an easy thing
to
do.
It's a premiere thing here, yeah. You get to premiere it on WGN Radio.
Yeah, and that's pretty
amazing.
Cool.
That's really beautiful. And I noticed a little more jazz influence perhaps in other songs that we've heard before.
Yeah.
Are you experiencing more of that as you're studying at school, or is it the sort of different things that you're interested in?
I think it's just, I don't know. I mean, like, it just depends, like, honestly, like, on the mood, like, in terms of what kind of song I want to write.
Sure.
But I've been recently more influenced in, like, jazz, R&B
right.
genre. I think it's just listening to more artists and, like, kind of just developing my sound more. It's always going to be changing. But
oh,
yeah.
No doubt. Because so. I know that when we first talked, there was a lot of you were interested in Flo, like, Florence and the Machine.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, obviously, a lot of different artists that kind of come and go. Who are you listening to now?
I'm listening to Amy Winehouse a lot.
Sure.
I love her. And actually, Marvin Gaye, like, I'm getting...
Oh, wonderful.
And, like, yeah, so I played this song for my... I'm a guitar teacher, and he told me, like, all these different, like, 70s, like, R&B people to listen to, so I'm getting into that.
Great. Yeah. And you are at Uncommon Ground on Saturday night?
Saturday night, yes.
Paul, do you have any questions for Tess before we go to break?
I just, that song, I could have contributed a lot to it. That's all I can say.
I mean,
I played
next
bass. I heard the bass lines and I heard the djembe beats, but, you know, I it's a very great song.
And, Thank you.
Well, I'm always struck by your poise and your confidence and the intent that you have when you make music, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. That you just commit to it so wholeheartedly is a wonderful thing to not only enjoy on the air, but to watch in studio.
Thank you.
More with Tess Considine when we come back in just a moment on 720 WGN. It's Music Monday. You're listening pretty late. We are live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It is Music Monday, and coming up on Saturday night, our guest is performing at Uncommon Ground, but you can hear her right now in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Here is Tess Considine with Warm Hands.
Warm hands be my eye when you tickle my back in summertime. Warm hands be my eye, you don't grow cold when winter cries. Fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide, borders on the lines. Broke them, fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide, borders on the lines. Broke them in time, 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 broke them. Your touch lingering, my pale skin's tingling. Warm hands be my eye, you don't burn me. Pain gets me every time. Fingers intertwined, stretching miles wide. Borders on the lines, broke them, fingers intertwined. Stretching miles wide, borders on the lines. Broke them in time, 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 time.
Well, that was Tess Considine with Warm Hands, and give her a moment to come on over to one of the microphones by our console over here. Yeah. Paul Farvard, isn't that the, doesn't, 17 yet?
18.
Oh, you're wow. 18 now. Okay, finally. Finally, we're allowing you to grow up. 18 years old, Tess Considine has been appearing on our show since she was 15 years old, performing as part of the Bitter Gesture Battle of the Bands, and I'm so glad that we found you. Well, I'm glad that you found us. Either way, well, however it worked out very well. Now, when you know, we've talked about Interlochen before because you were going to school, you know, in Highland Park. Were you going to HPA?
No, I live in Highland Park. I was going to school, North Shore Country Day School in Winnetka.
Okay, so now you, but now you're like, because I kind of think about, when I was a kid, I would have loved to have gone to school away from home. Not that I didn't love my parents, but there's something kind of being around other people who, you know, that you're constantly submerged right. in what you want to do, yeah. you know, what you're passionate about. And that's something that's kind of influenced your writing as well, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, especially like because they're all like my age and all super passionate about what they do. So it's for sure motivating and, yeah, inspiring to be there.
What has the, and I know we weren't going to talk too much about the, you know, what's been going on in pop culture or socially and politically, mm-hmm. but what has the sort of the environment been like at school the last couple of weeks?
It's been pretty hard. I think it's a good community in the sense that like it's a, like a safe space for like anyone basically, who's like upset about the like the election. Mm-hmm. I do know actually some people that feel very uncomfortable because they did support Trump.
Right. But isn't that like we think about high yeah. school students, because my son is 13 years old and he's already kind of coming into conflict with classmates yeah. who, you know, differ from him politically. And but I mean, we act as though like you're not supposed to because, well, you're teenagers right. and like let the adults take care of it. And yet, don't you kind of feel like, well, what are you leaving us?
Yeah, no, and there's been a lot of, like, discussions. I'm in this group called GLI, Girls Learn International Club, mm-hmm. and we've been having, like, meetings about it, too. And I think it's just nice because to hear other people's opinions. In the end, it ends up being kind of sad because, like, we don't know exactly how much to do except for, like, kind of just continue to promote our ideas and I think kind of just, like, spread that around, but yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, because the people that you are working with, that you're studying with, I mean, you're all in the arts. So, right. I mean, there tends to be, we tend to sort of go in one direction and, mm-hmm. and to much to the, I guess, chagrin of people that somehow, you know, it makes us wussies or, you know, mm-hmm. whiners and things like that. But that's, I mean, I guess feeling things intensely and then being made fun of is sort of a strange place to be. But you're in an environment where you can kind of reinforce each other and go, yeah. look, we're going to be okay. Do you feel like there's a sense of everything's going to be okay?
Yeah,
do you have
there's
someone?
A sense of that for sure. And I think also, although like there's not that much that we can do, at the same time there is, I think a lot of I think it's gonna be interesting going back from Thanksgiving break to see if any people like started making their own like art based off like what's happened, because I already know like myself and some other songwriters have already started to write some songs that have to do with the current election. So
no, I think I told you about this earlier, but another comedian, a friend of mine, Maddie Ryan's mother, who is a lawyer activist and was very big in the feminist movement, mm-hmm. When everybody, you know, Maddie and a lot of comedians were bummed out about the election, but one of the positives that she said is, you know, it reminded her of the 60s when, you know, Nixon was president and there was some of the best art that came out of that oppression or the way that people felt right. about politics. And I think that there's something to be said about that for people like Tess who are young, and there's going to be a lot of creative juices yes. flowing, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah,
Silver lining.
I think so, too. Not that Tess ever needed sort of, you know, outside influences because, I mean, you're always so always creating new material for yourself, mm-hmm. whether it's the songwriting, the music. You know, and you've been writing for how long?
Since I was around 10, but I didn't really right? know what I was doing. Yeah.
What were you writing about at 10?
One of my songs was I Live in Nature. I was an animal lover, and I liked being outdoors, so I kind of wrote about that, my experience.
Those are the classics. Those are the songs that are going to be in your greatest hits album.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
Do you still have, like, notes from when you were 10 years old?
Yeah, I have. I still have, like, I think a journal that it goes back not to when I was 10, but mm-hmm. pretty young. I don't know. I'm sure I have that written down somewhere, though. Yeah. Stacks of paper somewhere.
Yeah. And when you get older and as you move next to college and then, you know, after that, are a lot of those boxes at home at mom and dad's house?
Yeah.
You've got crates of stuff. Yeah. to figure out where to store all of that. What are the plans for Thanksgiving?
We're having Thanksgiving actually on Wednesday because we're accommodating to like family friends who have it on Thursday. So it's just gonna be my family, my parents, my aunt and uncle, and then some family friends
on Wednesday. Yeah. I think that's a good way. I think a lot of people do. Every once in a while I do it on Wednesday, mostly so I have my own leftovers. It's like, well, because I mean, there is something just wonderful about making. I mean, that you're, when your kitchen smells like stuffing and sweet potatoes and mashed potatoes
and turkey.
Oh, I know. I'm so sorry. What is, now? Paul's going to a vegetarian, yeah. Vegan or vegetarian?
Vegan. Yeah.
Vegan. So even the mashed potatoes will have no butter and cream in them.
It's going to be interesting.
What do they serve as the main meal? I mean, not that, look, turkey is not essential for Thanksgiving dinner. We can live beyond the expectations of that.
I don't know if the pilgrims would appreciate that, but I think it's a tofu turkey.
It's a tofu. They have a tofurkey?
Tofurkey, yeah.
They have a tofurkey.
I'm not sure. I know that was one of the options last time we did it in Champaign, but
I need you to we'll do see. A turkey noise. That's my turkey noise, by the way. What's your turkey noise?
I don't think I can
gobble,
do
gobble. Do you have a turkey noise, Tess?
Gobble.
Well done. So you have a show coming up on Saturday.
Yes.
How can people find out more information about that?
On my website, mm-hmm. Tess Considine, TessConsidine.com.
Wonderful.
Yes. And there's a new EP coming out hopefully next week. So.
Well, so next week you have an EP coming out and people can find out about how to get that music?
Via social media with my name or my website or, yeah, anywhere online if you look up my name.
So Tess Considine is at Uncommon Ground on Saturday.
Yes.
And, and when you have time to come back during Christmas break, we'd love to have you back, of
Thank
course,
you, yeah.
for number 14.
Yes.
And any other news that comes up along the way, always would love to hear about that.
Sure.
Again, Tess Considine. And happy holidays. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Thank you.
And we are going to take a break here in a little bit. We've got more music after 12:30. We're just going to catch up in just a moment on 720 WGN.
Comedian Sebastian.
Night at 9. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian and podcast host of Singles Only, Paul Farvar. And you've, did you perform tonight by any chance? Did you
I did a show at Second City called Crowdsource, which was just crowd work. But it ended up being a lot of like people talking about politics. It was a young crowd, yeah.
Oh, young crowd. Well, see, and that was Peter Kim's
event? Peter Kim's show, yeah.
And he was the gentleman who quit Second City.
Yeah.
Following disruptive audiences.
Disruptive audiences. So I think he wanted to use this as an opportunity to kind of take control of the situation.
Right, to kind of go into the audience.
Yeah, and then go back to Second City. So.
Oh, really? But there's that.
It was fun. It was a really good crowd. And, you know, I love doing crowd work anyway. So.
Well, I do. I go back and forth on crowd work. I mean, when I'm the host, I'll start out with some crowd work. The problem with if there are other comics on the show who don't necessarily talk to the audience, once you get them in the mood of talking, you know, chatting, sometimes it can be hard to make that transition to now I'm doing material.
Yeah.
Tonight we had a great audience at Zanies on Wells. Thank you to everyone who came out, to the Female Funnies. I will be back performing there on December 19th for the Female Funnies, so come join us. I will give out tickets before that event as well. On Friday night, I performed at a country club in Highland Park along with Pat McGann, and I've done the show before. They requested me, and I had a lot of fun doing it last time. This time, Pat killed. Pat went first, and they loved him. And he even made fun of them for, you know, the sort of this, you know, this country club and the white privilege. And, you know, there were a lot of white people in the room. And Pat said, it looks like a Trump rally.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on stage after him and he killed. He destroyed.
Right.
And I went up and I asked him to give him another round of applause. And he did great. And I said, you guys have a really great sense of humor. If I had said any of those things to you, you probably would have thought I was being bitchy. Mm-hmm. Right, because he really slammed them. I'm not a roast comic, and it was just really what I was thinking.
Nice.
And that fell flat. And then, like, everything I tried to do was a lot of work. Now, I don't know if it was the way I started, if it was the material. I kept trying to change my material, but about 20 minutes in, I thought, okay, this audience is going to leave tonight thinking I like the first comic better, and I am okay with that. I'm gonna do my time, perform, do my material. I'll change it up, try this, see if they like this, see if they like that. And it was fine. I was about to finish. I was actually launching into my last 5 minutes of my set to a very, you know, lukewarm reception. And that was fine. They had also been there for 3 hours. They had dinner.
Really?
They had drinks.
They're tired.
They had been there for a long time. And Pat McGann had crushed. He
How
did a great
job. How
long
did he go on for?
He did 35, 40 minutes to open.
It's a long time.
So I... So I was launching into my last 5 minutes of material, which is when I talk about my boys. And I was telling this story. Now, Griffin, I've talked about on this show many times, my older son, who is gifted and was walking at 9 months, full sentences at 18 months, was, you know, doing math by the time he was 2.5. Like, I used to sit down with him. I was a full-time stay-at-home mom. I would do my shows at night. But we would do all these, like, big poster boards of, like, the alphabet with the counting and, you know, colors. I mean, like, before he was, like, really getting into even into preschool.
Pythagorean theorems.
Oh, yeah, all that stuff. Well, but see, that's interesting you say that, because when Griffin was 5 years old, Griffin asked me, and in like he would devour books. He was reading beyond his years for a long time. So he asked me, he goes, "Mommy, what do you think God thought about dinosaurs?" And I said, maybe God was experimenting. Like, I thought, you know, he was like, because, you know, the different, like, whether they're carnivores or omnivores or herbivores, and like how the different species, you know, all the different sort of levels of what a dinosaur, you know, the sizes and some flew and like what, you know. So I thought that maybe that was what he meant. Like, some of them ate each other and they fought. And he goes, "Oh, Mommy, that's not how it worked. God made sure that the Big Bang happened and the primordial ooze had all the deoxyribonucleic acid present so that all life forms could emerge as a result of accident and environment," right? And I said, "Dioribo what?" And he goes, "DNA, Mommy." Now, Steve has no reason to lie, right? I, maybe as a performer, people can be suspicious of those kinds of stories, whatever. But I actually also put that on Facebook the day he said it. He was 5 years old. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, I knew that he was incredibly smart and would say these wonderful things. But I started cataloging them and writing them down and putting them into my material. One of the other things that happened, as the older brother of a little boy with special needs, his younger brother Declan has a hypoplasia of the corpus callosum, which means that part of his brain is missing. And for a brief period of time, they got to go to school together at this school on the Northwest side. And the principal pulled me aside one day, and he wanted to tell me that he was struck by how remarkable Griffin was, because Griffin would read to all the other children on the bus. He would bring a book every day and read to all the kids. And I said, "I know." He said, "In my 25 years as a principal, I have never seen a child like Griffin." And I said, "I know. He is the best big brother for his little brother." And as we left, Griffin said, "Mommy," and I said, "What, sweetie?" He sounded so serious. I go, "What's going on?" And he goes, "You didn't tell Principal Smith that Declan's the best little brother I could have." And he was 5 years old, and like I had to pull the car over, and he looked really scared. I had, because I wanted to kiss him. I ran around to the other side of the car and gave him a big kiss. And that's those are some of those, and I wasn't doing that story, but those are some of the elements of who Griffin is as this remarkable little boy. But the story I was telling, and the true story is, I sometimes change what compels Griffin to say this in the telling of the story. But what really happened was, when Griffin was about 8 years old, Christine Bloomer, the wine diva from WGN Radio, she was a regular guest on Steve Cochran's show. She passed away. And this is not how I was doing it on stage, but I sort of find a way to tell the story about Griffin sharing this insight, his philosophy. He was struggling with the fact that I was upset. I was completely devastated, because Christine Bloomer was a kind of person. I loved being around her so much. I felt bad for other people who never had the chance to meet her. That's how incredible she was. And Griffin was trying to understand, like, when you lose somebody, and why do we lose people we love, and it hurts so much, how do you get over it? And I was trying to tell him that, you know, when you lose somebody, you carry their memory with you your entire life, right? So this is where the story emerges from. And Griffin, like, took that, but then he said, "Mommy, you know what I think? I think life is like a boat with no oars. And sometimes you have to ride that storm out and see where you turn up." And my husband and I were so caught off guard by that. But it's one of my favorite stories to tell about Griffin. And sometimes I share it in a different way. So I had sort of encapsulated it in the middle of trying to wrap up on Friday night, telling this kind of sweet, charming story that leads into stories about my boys. So I say, you know, "Mommy, life is like a boat with no oars." And this woman yells out from the middle of the crowd, "He never said that."
Oh, my God.
And I just stopped, because she had kind of been like saying things loudly, like replying to things throughout the whole 35 minutes, but I had dismissed it. But this was like during kind of a dramatic moment where whether or not they were responding or they believed it, I didn't really.
But they were listening. They weren't
They
like
were listening.
Talking. Yeah.
Right. Okay. He never said that. So I stepped off the stage into the audience, and I walked over to where she was sitting, and I said, "Why would you say that?" And she said, "Because he's a child. Kids don't talk like that. And I just stood there. And I now, instead of being the comic they didn't like as much as the first comic, now I have to talk about my family and how, yes, I take very real moments and I try to make them entertaining
for
you.
That's what we do, yeah.
So for 10 minutes, I schooled them. I have a one-woman show called Lipstick Mom, Tales of a Diaper, you know, Tales of a whatever. So I end up doing the dramatic elements of my other show for 10 minutes. And people on the way out, there was one woman who stopped me. I was obviously just a wind tunnel, like just leaving the room. And one woman stopped me and said, thank you so much. You go, girl. A special needs teacher. Thank you so much for sharing the story about your son. But here's the thing, like people who don't want to hear about my son having special needs, I actually wasn't even talking about Declan yet. I was telling the story about he never said that. It was the sense of like, I'm just going to yell this. I mean, even if you don't believe anything a comedian says, why would you ever think that like
that didn't happen? Yeah.
That didn't happen. No, I've had audience members before, but like to feel so as though that is your right to now yell at a performer that you have invited. That I'm not there to like, as Jimmy Pardo said, hey, how'd the show go? It was terrible. Yeah, here's your check. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It is Music Monday, and joining us in studio is Peter Joly and others. I guess it's just Peter Joly and then guys playing the guitar and the bass. We'll talk about that in just a minute. They are performing this weekend at the Hideout. Right now, here they are live in the Allstate Showcase studio with She Came Here.
She came here from Alabama with her daddy's duffel and her mother's glamour. The boys back home all called her ma'am, but that southern charm died in Birmingham. The boys up here all call her baby doll. They want to take her home, make her kiss the wall. So the northern blues have this southern belle shaking like a kitten in her northern hell. She came here from Alabama with a smile a mile and a southern tan. When this city saw her, he couldn't stand. He didn't want her, so he wouldn't have her. So he beat her up and he knocked her down. Now her favorite company is no one at all, while she sits alone praying no one will call. Boy, John. So she's scared to stay, but ashamed to leave. She never thought that saving face would be her destiny. And about a month ago, she passed my way. And I almost missed her,
savage face. For she came here from Alabama, smile a mile in a southern town.
Peter Jolie and others.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's Peter Jolie, and he'll be performing at The Hideout this Saturday night. That was She Came Here, right? Correct? Really beautiful song. Can we hear him on that mic? I'm not sure. Come on over and grab a seat if you can by one of the microphones there. Thank you. Yes, you want to say something, Paul?
No, I just, again, want to point out that another fine band that clearly was in need of some percussion on the show, and once again I was told not to bring my djembe, which is cool, whatever, but
oh man, well, you should have contacted me before the interview.
I thought I did, but my people were supposed to tell you that I was going to perform, but
it's all about coordination. It's all planning,
hand eye coordination too.
With me tonight are John and John Williams and Josh Pyatt. Let me grab some headphones here.
Yeah, absolutely. Grab some headphones. Yeah, and I'm the same way. I like to be able to hear myself.
Oh, there we go. That's nice.
There you go.
So, yeah, John Williams and Josh Pyatt with me. John's on guitar and Josh is on bass.
And John is originally from Cleveland, as we were talking about before the show tonight.
Thereabouts, a little suburb west of Cleveland.
Very much looking forward to his Thanksgiving dinner with the family and all ensuing conversations.
Yes.
And what brought you to Chicago, John?
You know, both of my older brothers had came here first.
Oh, a little closer on
there
the mic.
You go. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so I'm the youngest of three boys, and both of my older brothers. One of them's out in Naperville, and the other one's down in Oaklawn.
What brought them here? Just jobs, sort of?
I think jobs. Yeah, jobs. And then I used to come up here when I was in high school to go to Blues Fest.
Great!
Kind of fell in love with the city, and when I made the fateful decision to be a musician, it seemed like the place to go.
Well, to be a professional, I mean, it's one thing to play. How old were you when you started playing music?
You know. 13. My mom had me taking piano lessons when I was probably 8 or 9, but 13 when I stole my brother's guitar and started playing it. And
Sounds like your brothers have a lot of impact on your life, music and moving to Chicago. We'll take it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what kind of music inspired you when you were young?
When I was young, you know, I grew up on classic rock, like a lot of kids, and then kind of slowly progressed backwards from there. You know, you listen to Eric Clapton, and then you hear about blues, and then from there you kind of go to Willie Dixon or Muddy Waters, and then you just kind of keep going backwards and exploring all the whole 20th century American music. It's just such a treasure trove of stuff to go
Kesha,
for.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, Kesha's in there, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Cash and country and the blues and the early jazz stuff is kind of what I like to play.
And Josh, where are you from originally?
From the city here. Yeah, my family was from Pilsen, and I think probably when I was around kindergarten, first grade, we moved out to Cicero.
Okay.
So
Latino family? Because usually Pilsen and Cicero, I always
say. Yeah. No, Polish.
Polish family in Pilsen.
Uh-huh.
Went from a Latino neighborhood to a Latino suburb.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. I love that. So what music inspired you when you were younger? You were playing the bass, by the way.
Yeah, I was
very
playing the bass.
Large, upright bass.
Rock and roll also, kind of like John, probably a little bit more recent, a little more makeup maybe.
well, there's obviously
makeup like Kiss, do you mean, or just like,
yeah,
like
yeah, a little bit
dramatic.
Of the glam,
Kiss, Poison.
Yeah, a little bit of the glam.
Okay. Motley Crue, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but also working my way back from there into blues and jazz especially. And
always a bass player, or what did you play first?
I failed at guitar for about 6 months or 9 months.
Is that,
is
that the path of many guitar players, bass players?
And comedians.
It is.
They fail at the guitar and bass, and they end up somewhere else. And Peter,
yes.
Jolie, yes. What tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Buffalo, New York, and I moved to Chicago in 1993.
What drew you here?
What drew me here was I had a life going there in Buffalo with music, and it was kind of a hard scramble life. I was driving a cab, and I was playing gigs, and I was writing songs, actually all at the same time.
You were just a baby in 93.
Well, you might think so. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Maybe I have a baby face, but I'm not as much of a baby, maybe, but yeah. So in '93, I decided to make a move because it seemed like the time was right to get out of Chicago.
To Chicago
from Buffalo, to get out of Buffalo. I could have gone to New York or Chicago. Those are my two best options in my view. A lot of people think that because you're in New York State, you're right on top of New York City. That's not the case. It's actually equally distant from Buffalo, New York, pretty much to New York City or Chicago.
Really? I had never really thought of that.
It's pretty much 600 miles in either direction.
So you're standing there in the middle of the both cities going,
right.
What tilted you this way?
I had people here. I had a sister here who had roots here and who had a situation. She was looking for a roommate. And I was looking for a new place to start playing music.
Is that code for she broke up with her boyfriend and needed someone else to pay the rent?
I don't know all the circumstances of that, but
I've been there.
There was a space there that was available, and I was ready to fill it. So
nice.
So, within a week, I was on an Amtrak train to Chicago, and I've been here since '93 ever since, and I've loved it ever.
The music scene here is obviously vibrant and dynamic.
Well, I'll tell you, when I first got here, I jumped right into it. I jumped into the open stages, and I immediately met people and started making contacts right away. I mean, I'm an acoustic guy. That's fundamentally what I like to do is six string acoustic guitar, and singer songwriters have always been my passion and my inspiration. And so that's when I first got to town, I started hitting open mics and hitting people with the same types of sensibilities and, just started collaborating. And that's how I met John and all these great guys. So,
and tell us a little bit about the event on you're performing at the Hideout this Saturday.
We are this Saturday performing at the Hideout, November 26th. And we'll be performing with Rachel Drew and the Bitterroots, who are this really great band. They're playing all over town these days. Rachel sings all over my record. I met Rachel through a residency that I do once a month up at Lizard's Liquid Lounge on Irving Park Road. Uh-huh. And so I invited her to do a set one night, and she came in and she just killed me with her songs and especially with her voice. She's gifted with one of those voices. I have a voice that I've had to work really hard to improve upon and to get comfortable with, to be at a level where I feel it's, strong and what I'm doing is strong for me, but she, I feel, has one of these gifts. It's just a great voice.
You're the first singer we've had on the show that I've talked to who talks about trying to develop their voice. Can you tell me some of the things that goes into that?
Oh my gosh, lots and lots of hard work, hours and hours of practice, and singing phrases, just phrasing things. I mean, it's not only getting pitch and power; it's also being able to do that while accentuating phrasing that you really want to get across. So it's a collaboration of all those things and those coming together to try to make it sound as seamless as possible when you're doing a live performance. It takes a lot of work in the background.
Because you are an instrument. I mean, we often talk about vocalists.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because someone was laughing about a vocalist who can play the guitar more valuable than... Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but the vocalist is a... I mean, that's kind of what the entire... song can hang on.
When I listen to music, that's what moves me probably the most is the vocal performance of any piece of music. That's primarily a vocal piece of music, if that's what it is. Mm-hmm. To me, if that's not excellent, it loses a lot.
All the rest of it kind of falls away.
Yeah, I mean, you can have the most amazing music bed behind an average vocal performance, and you put an excellent singer in that same position, and it'll elevate that song to a level that it just needs to be to.
Who are some of your favorite vocalists?
Oh, gosh, it's funny, because I do kind of like the more understated types of singers. I love Lyle Lovett. I love Randy Newman. I think he's a fantastic singer.
So
a lot
good.
Of people don't, he's...
Well, because they think of him as a Disney writer.
Well, I don't.
I know, I'm saying, but like my son loves all of his music, but,
He's if you go back and you listen to his catalog from when he became popular... those first records that he did that made him a sensation, Sail Away, is a fantastic record. And anybody who really wants to know about Randy Newman should go out and find that record and listen to it.
Which one is that again?
It's called Sail Away.
Sail Away?
Yeah. And it's one of his earlier records. It was probably put out in, I'd say, the mid-70s, something like that. Yeah. Because that's also the kind of voice that I have. People like Jackson Browne have always blown me out of the water. Because they know what they're going for, and they perfect that, and they don't fool around with it, and they don't try to do a lot of showy stuff.
Right.
And that's what they do.
Just get right down to the nuts and bolts of it. And Josh, how did he rope you into this this little group?
Boy, you know, many years ago, I played with Peter at the Bucktown Arts Fest, just kind of a backup band, and we did some of Peter's original stuff and a couple of Dylan tunes, I think. And I don't remember seeing Peter again for a while, for some years after that. And then I would just see him around town a little bit at places like, I don't know, open mics and, you know, things like that. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, John gave me a call. I play with John Williams here quite a bit in a bunch of different projects, and he thinks of me quite a bit and gives me a call to play on various projects.
So you roped him into this.
Josh is always my first call for a bass player, whether it's upright or electric or, you know, in multiple styles. He plays with a group called the Hoyle Brothers that plays every Friday at the Empty Bottle, and they're just a great country western band. And yeah, he's always my first call. So when I'd been playing with Peter for a while and brought Josh in. So.
Nice.
Yeah, it's been some years.
Well, we have another song coming up after this break, and we'll catch up more with Peter. Jolie, do you want to say something?
No, I'm going to go grab my djembe. I'm going to jump in.
Okay. Nice.
Right. It'll sound good with the bass.
Yeah, we'll have to have Craig and Bob make sure when they check with the next bands that are coming through. To, you know, Paul wants to play his djembe. More with Peter, Jolie, and Paul Farver when we come back on 720 WGN and John and Josh. More on 720. You are listening pretty late. It is Music Monday, and we are thrilled to have Peter Jolie in the Allstate Showcase studio. This Saturday night, he'll be performing at the Hideout, but he is live here playing With Your Hand in Mine.
When I speak, I tend to ramble. When I ramble's when I tend to find all the life that I can handle. But I will make it with your hand in mine. And I have seen times through eyes of tears. I have witnessed death and testified. And I've been spared by grace of God for years. Consequences that should have been mine. Trace a trap. Place a path, a signature for the ages. And when hearts are true, there's nothing they can do. While a heart of stone I was trying out in Jackson Square and giving everything away for free. While a half my age with twice my cares was begging Mad Dog for his love in me, he said, if a woman is all takes a man from drowning in his misery, then we'll hoist our sails and head for land, giving everyone a sight to see. Trace your track, place your path, your signature for the ages. And when heart
inside true. There's nothing they can do. While a heart of stone is in such a simple thing, 'tis close to you at a moment when I touch your skin. Such a simple thing to understand at the moment darkness rushes in. So when I speak, I tend to ramble. When I ramble's when I tend to find all the life that I can handle. But I will make it with your hand in mine.
That's Peter Jolie with Your Hand in Mind, and they're playing this Saturday night at the Hideout. Thank you so much. Come on over, grab a microphone. Oh, we only have a couple minutes left. Maybe we'll do another segment after the news, keep you a little bit longer, since there's more. There's, you know, I like talking to musicians, Paul.
Mm-hmm. I was a musician, just for the record.
Well, I thought that you are. How, do you ever stop it? Like, don't you ever pick up the djembe? And
I played the guitar last night because there's in all my rooms in case I have company.
In case you have company, pick up a little percussion fund.
Well, yeah.
It's what do you
a,
call
it was a guitar.
A,
yeah.
What do you call a djembe player? Are you a djembist?
I'm actually a guitarist, but I have a djembe because I'm not that strong a guitarist. But. But I mean, I can hold my own.
I get the feeling Josh is like, I can't put this huge upright bass down, so I'm going to have to wait a minute before I decide to. We'll give you. No, we're gonna go to the news. You're fine. We're gonna go to the news right now and catch up some more with Peter Jolie. One more segment when we come back after the news.
Brother, love your demons. They will show you who you are.
I don't want to love my demons, Peter Jolie. That's music off of his CD. What's the name of this CD?
It's a self-titled record, so it is my name, Peter Jolie, J-O-L-Y.
Peter Jolie. And where can people find this music?
Everywhere. It's pretty much everywhere. It's on Spotify. It's on CD Baby. It's on iTunes. It's on
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
Right?
Yep.
All those places.
Yep.
Yeah, I love that. Sort of this. What when you're writing a song, and this one obviously is kind of your. This is seems like a call to action, like to tell people to do something specific.
Yes.
Which is a lot of things. You have a lot of things that people should love.
Yes.
And why is that?
Well, I mean, this song, to me, this song is about appreciating what is right in front of your face.
Mm-hmm.
Every single day when we get up in the morning, you know, there's so much to be grasped and grabbed and strived for and appreciated, and that's what that song's all about. So I don't like to go too in-depth with my lyrics because I do think that that takes the listener out of the process a little bit.
But do you love your demons?
I do love my demons, and I have a lot of them too, Patty.
Do you really?
How long's the show?
Yeah. No, well, the idea of, you know, love what's in front of you, appreciate what's in front of you, and that's a story I was telling earlier about Griffin.
And I think it goes towards understanding yourself too, as far as getting back to the demons thing. If you can know your demons enough to love them, then you can control them.
Right, because sometimes if you ignore them or try to dismiss it,
that's
then they just get louder.
Bad stuff happens.
Yep,
bad
exactly.
things.
Yeah.
All the bad things.
I like
things.
That song a lot. It's a lot like, I hear a lot of Billy Bragg in that song.
Oh,
and
thanks. Appreciate
a little
that.
Bob Dylan as well.
But. Appreciate that.
Now, do you guys collaborate on the songwriting, or is that entirely Peter's purview?
We don't. I'm a songwriter, and I have never collaborated on that with anybody. In the band situations that I've been in, I've always brought the songs to the musicians and, you know, pretty much just let them come up with parts.
Uh-huh.
When we started this record, I had kind of been cloaking myself with bands ever since I started playing music. And at John's prodding, I decided to do a solo record and just come out and put my name on a record and say, this is me and these are my songs. And because kind of that's what I've been doing anyways, except I had a little more creative control over the process this way.
So, yeah. Is that something that you appreciate? I mean, when you don't have creative control, yeah, you've got heads butting. It can be disruptive.
I've been in a lot of rock kind of setups, and this was more of an acoustic record, and I really had wanted to make that for a long time, mm-hmm. and John helped me. John was the producer on this record, and so he really steered the ship and got us headed in the right direction and brought it home, and I couldn't be prouder of his work and our work together.
And, John, how many musicians are you working with at any one time? Because it sounds like you're kind of floating between different groups.
Yeah, I've a lot. I try. The best way to stay busy as a musician is just to have as many projects as possible. So I've got 5 or 6 bands that are active, and a handful of other bands that call me for sub gigs. So no one project is going to gig more than once or twice a month. So if you want to stay busy, you got to have multiple projects, really.
And when you're producing, though, I mean, how much do you? I mean, obviously, you have to focus on how to bring out the best from this musician and the words he's written, the music, you know, the elements that have to go into that. How has this work with Peter sort of been different from other pieces you've worked on?
Peter comes with songs that are very laid out and orchestrated from the start, so we are following that. Like his guitar playing is mm-hmm. largely the arrangement that we are working off of. So, you know, we're working around that to start with. So he's a very intricate guitar player, so we got to kind of stay out of the way of that a little bit, and not kind of squash that with too much production stuff.
Right.
Leave enough air, leave enough space for what he's doing. So that's a lot of what this record was not stepping all over what he was doing in the first place.
To make sure it's still his vision.
Yes.
And do you feel like that's what, I mean, you don't look at him if you don't want to say in front of John.
I think we said it all in front of each other, but you know, I think both of us are really satisfied with how this song came out, and you know, it was a long process. This was 3 years it took to make this. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
We had a false start. We tried to track it live initially, and it just wasn't, the songs were too orchestrated to get a good live take, so we really
as much as going into a studio and you have all those, you know, there's obviously a mm-hmm. different sort of dynamic to it. Live audiences, there's so many different variables, you know, whether it's how you feed the soundboard and the audience, and so many different, I can't even imagine.
It's nice to be able to do that when you can, just because have the energy of a live performance. Sure. But for Peter's song, it just was the wrong approach.
I would imagine. I could see both being wonderful, but mm-hmm. I could see a studio production sort of really lending itself to what you want to accomplish.
And we also had the benefit of Peter's nephew, Phil Jolie, mm-hmm. is the head engineer at Electric Lady Studios in Manhattan, Jimi Hendrix's old studio.
Oh, what?
Wow. So awesome. We did the whole record. We did all the recording here, and then we emailed him the tracks like we do these days.
Isn't that crazy?
And he did the mix, and we flew out there and spent a couple of days there in Manhattan and in his place in Brooklyn too, doing the mix with him. And he's just a great guy to work with. He's had the chance to work with some huge acts, so it was really fun to be able to work with a guy like that and to work in a place like Electric Lady, one of the most famous studios in the world. You know, just a great place.
Very cool. And the bass music that you bring into it, sort of, mm-hmm. there's an elegance to it that you bring in the two songs that you guys played. Mm-hmm. How much of that obviously there's a coordination of where the bass is going to come in and how that flows together. But how do you key into the music that he wants, that he needs for the particular song?
I don't know how much we discuss it.
Josh comes up. Josh comes in and hears the music, and he writes a part, and it's...
Oh, there you go.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, Josh, but it's quite astounding. It really is, and it's always perfect.
As John was saying, that the parts are there, the guitar's there, the vocals are there. It's staying out of the way, and That's it.
Well, know, it all comes way. Together beautifully in the studio, if that's any indication of everything else. It's really been a pleasure to hang out with you guys.
Likewise.
Look forward
thanks,
to having
Brandy.
You back. Absolutely. And everyone can catch them on Saturday at the Hideout, and also Peter Jolie on places like CD Baby, Bandcamp, Spotify for his newest, which is the self-titled Peter Jolie, J-O-L-Y. Do you have a website that you want to send people to?
My Facebook music page is the best place to go to find out about what I'm doing. It's Peter Jolie Music. You're going to get right there. If you just type that in, you'll go right to my Facebook page.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks,
Patty.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you.
Again,
it's
Peter
Jolie.
Thank
and
you very
thank
much.
You, of course, my pleasure. And thank you, Bob Ferguson, as always, on Music Monday. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining me is comedian and podcast host of Singles Only, Paul Farvar. Esmeralda is up in traffic. Craig behind the glass. And Bob Ferguson, thank you so much again and again for some great music tonight from Tess Considine and from Peter Jolie. And we've been talking about Thanksgiving quite a bit tonight. I feel like it snuck up on me this year. I feel like November went by in a very, like, not fast, just like a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, the last 3 weeks flew by.
A lot of stuff going on. Esmeralda, are you working on Thanksgiving night?
I am.
Ooh.
I am I'm going to be behind a different microphone, I guess. Not in my traffic hut.
What time are you hosting a show?
2 to 5.
A.M.?
Yes.
So you're after me.
Yes, with John Hansen.
Excellent. Well, then we'll have a lot of food and drink.
Yay.
It's our second Thanksgiving. So any of our regular guests who are on the show come after their Thanksgiving dinners and bring their leftovers. We hang out and tell stories and talk about, you know,
I'm gonna our bring events. Ziploc bags to take everyone else's leftovers per the discussion we had earlier, right?
Yeah. So. Tupperware, if you feel more comfortable and confident.
I don't own Tupperware, but I have like large Walgreens bags that I could use.
No.
No, Ziploc. I mean, Ziploc?
Yeah, you need Ziploc bags.
Let me see what I can do.
Yeah, Ziploc. Could be
but
fun.
I mean, I'm going to take everything. So.
Everything, including the tofurkey?
No, you guys aren't going to have tofurkey here. I'm talking about coming
breast.
To this party
yes.
and taking
everything. Oh, you're taking
here.
Some of my leftovers with you.
Yeah, yeah.
That's fine. Well, I make stuffing muffins. So I make my stuffing muffins are, so you just like have a, you know, just grab it instead of like a scoop of it. It's easier to put in your Ziploc bag.
It's in the turkey, though?
No.
It's just stuff. On the side?
I think that stuffing... Okay, so this is what we're talking about are your Thanksgiving side dishes. Because I would contend that the best side dish for Thanksgiving is the stuffing. But I don't think it should be stuffed in the turkey. I think it should be cooked separately, just for various reasons.
It actually dries out the turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And bacteria.
I think it's better
form.
all those things that she was saying.
But then
Alton
but I mean,
Brown
that,
told
then
me
then you
got
to so. Change the name of it, don't you? I mean,
no.
It's kind of a misnomer if it's not stuffed in the turkey.
Dressing.
Oh yeah, I still call it stuffing, but you could call it like cornbread stuffing.
I don't know if you can do that.
What is your favorite side dish, Paul Farvar?
Well, if you're going to go side dishes, does pumpkin pie count or is that a dessert?
I guess it's one of the elements of Thanksgiving dinner. It's dessert, obviously, but.
Pumpkin pie is...
That's what you look forward to, though, the whole meal? You're like, get this out of my way, out my pie?
I love the turkey. Obviously, that's my first favorite.
Which you're not having.
Which I'm not having, which I think there'll still be pumpkin pie because there's no animals involved. And then, I don't know, is that vegan? I should
pumpkin pie? You can make it vegan, for sure.
Yeah, they'll probably make it vegan. But, I mean, I also like mashed potatoes. I think those are amazing.
Yeah, very good. Do you like it with a little bit of skin in there, like a little bit? Do you like it to be a little lumpy, or do you like it to be very creamy?
I like it to be... creamy.
All right. 312-981-7200. What is your favorite Thanksgiving side dish?
My least favorite is cranberry sauce.
My mother makes the most amazing cranberry chutney. Do you not like any cranberry? Like this?
I like cranberry everything, but it doesn't make sense. Like there's certain things that don't that shouldn't be combined. They're two
like
great
a Thanksgiving
things.
Cynic over here.
You know what? It's like I love cheese and I love French fries, but I don't think those two things should be combined. I will fight
Craig,
anyone.
We can argue with. Don't you think cheese and fries are absolutely perfect together?
I was dumbfounded that that's where he went to prove his point because cheese and fries are wonderful together.
How about chili cheese fries?
Chili cheese fries are so great.
Oh my God.
Mashed potatoes are one of the best side dishes at Thanksgiving, so I'm agreeing with you, but then you made a lot of terrible points.
You know, I'm going to take a strong stance because I think cheese is a dish that's just, you got to enjoy it in French fries.
A dish? How is cheese a dish?
Because
French fries are made from potatoes, and then have you ever had a tater tot?
I have.
Have you ever put that into cheese?
No. I put tater tots in either ketchup or ranch dressing.
Yeah, okay.
Same with French fries. It's just one of those things. When you go to Portillo's, I get really mad when people, but because cheese is good on a lot of things, but I think potatoes, it's just two separate things.
Complete madness, Esmeralda.
What? Anyone want to fight me, call me. I'll explain the, it's a good argument.
312-981-7200. Tell us your favorite Thanksgiving Day side dish or why Paul Farvar is wrong.
Or why cranberry sauce doesn't belong in Thanksgiving.
How does cranberry sauce not belong?
It's just sweet and sour. It's like two different things.
I love that. It's tart. It's tart.
Yeah, that's good with the savory. Although I don't really like sauce. I like the canned stuff.
You like the gelatinous that just slides out with the rings from the can?
Mm-hmm.
The jello mold, like the cranberry. What?
No, there's certain things. I was going to say, like there's certain things that just they don't combine. But I will say I was surprised with if we're going to keep going with the combinations that don't belong. Salty caramel with ice cream is good.
Okay.
That's good. I'll take that. It's the only thing that I think is a good combination.
I like that. See, are you just generally hungry right now? Is that why we're going off
in
a different direction?
I'm always hungry.
Because now I have to go to Mother Hubbard's after this and have tater tots.
I'm not eating those. Those things are,
That was, I know, it was a long night last Monday night.
Yeah, we ate a lot.
We ate a lot.
Yeah, that was too much food. All right, but I do think cranberry sauce is the least favorite of all the
I didn't ask for least favorite.
Well, what are your,
My favorite is stuffing. I love the dressing.
That's a good choice.
I love mashed potatoes, sweet potatoes, and I love the sweet potatoes that you bake the marshmallows on top with. So if you don't like cranberry because you think it's too sweet and tart.
It's just,
So the sweet potato dish that has like, it has pecans, brown sugar, and marshmallows baked on top. That's what I make.
It's a sweet. It's like it's a, like a lot sweet going on. And savory.
It's all sweet. It's all, and butter as well. It is the most dangerous dish I make. Are my sweet potato? It's a sweet potato casserole. It's not like mashed sweet potatoes. why are you laughing?
I'm standing by my position, and I will fight you on it.
I love cranberry sauce. Craig, what's your favorite side dish for Thanksgiving?
Mashed potatoes, but now I don't agree with anything that Paul said, so I'm confused.
I alienated people. I think that, I mean, those are two, there's certain things that you have to enjoy separately. I think cheese and French fries are one of those.
You're crazy.
No, I think I'm
right. What about cheese sauce? Were you just drinking that?
I mean, cheese sauce is good for certain things that are not tasty. Like
I can see
celery.
Why you're not in a relationship.
What?
There's so many reasons.
Wait, did you just say celery?
Yeah, you can put cheese on celery.
What?
You know, my dad used to love Cheese Whiz with celery, to be honest with you. My dad used to eat, like, not the Cheese Whiz. What's the one that's in the jar? With the Cheese Whiz is the spray kind.
Nacho dip.
That's not, I guess it's.
Oh, that's something good. Cheese with nachos. That's a really good thing because chips by themselves are not good. Tortilla chips are not good by themselves. You need to put salsa or cheese on them. French fries are good by themselves.
I don't understand how they can't just be the same. Okay.
It's a very clear argument.
It's not very clear. You're making no sense whatsoever.
It's 100% makes sense.
No, not even a little bit.
That's leaving
absolute
right now.
Madness. Well, that's fine. You can do that. 312-981-7200. What are your favorite? What are you looking forward to this Thanksgiving dinner? Is it the food? Is it like getting together with everybody?
The conversation.
I actually may have a quiet Thanksgiving with my mom. I probably should tell my husband I'm doing that.
He doesn't know yet.
My mom and my son Declan, we're going to stay home and watch some movies.
Football?
I'm going to go and what football is on? I know the Lions play every
Cowboys
Thanksgiving.
Cowboys too.
Yeah.
I thought the Bears, they played for a few years, but it doesn't matter.
Everyone's done. Like, who's playing? When you buy a ticket to the Bears games, I think you also get a shot at being on the field, is what they're offering.
Right now, there's a lot of injuries, yeah.
Man, there was so much yelling on Kaz, Hamp, and Obi's show yesterday. They were like, there was a listener. Did you hear yesterday, Esmeralda? There was a listener that called in yelling about how much he spends on tickets to the Bears games. And I was like,
no one's forcing him to.
See, it's just sad. I don't know. I like that. I mean, it's nice that they're bad early so you don't get invested. Like, watching them, I was like, oh, they might win. And then when things fell apart, you're like, oh, okay, cool. I'm going to go do other stuff. But it's not like you're invested. But like when it's like closer in the season when they're good and then they break your heart, that's not fun.
No, it's been a rough bear season. And I guess Cutler might be done for the rest of the season now. And
oh, is that the newest?
I don't know. I just look at the headlines and go, yeah, that sounds about right. Like anything
else. Who are they going to put in then? There's nobody else.
Do they not have any other quarterbacks? I don't know. I'll find out from
maybe Jim McMahon's coming back.
Oh my gosh.
That's possible.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
They had no other choices.
There's no one left of all the people that they could put in. Jim Harbaugh, he was a quarterback for a while.
Yeah, but he's a coach for.
He can take off on Sundays. The games are on Saturdays for Michigan.
What madness are you now talking about?
It's the bears.
I'm trying to talk about side dishes for Thanksgiving. What about the vegetables? Okay, and I don't know why I don't consider the potatoes to be the vegetables, but like the green bean casserole that some people make makes me like the with the French onion crisps on top and the mushroom soup. That's a lot. Here, let's see what Gwen likes. I want to know what your favorite dishes are for Thanksgiving because it's you know it's such a wonderful meal. I look forward to it every year. Gwen, what's your favorite dish at Thanksgiving?
Well, this one is, it's pretty awesome. It almost sounds like the green bean dish you just mentioned, Patty. It's broccoli, believe it or not, broccoli with melted Velveeta cheese with Ritz crackers on that.
Oh.
Sounds delightful.
I'm going to write this one down. It's easy to make. It's very easy to make.
And Velveeta cheese is one of those things where it's once I start going down the Velveeta cheese path, I don't know if I can come back from that. I love it so much.
It's good stuff.
But you don't have to put a lot. It's just a little bit. It's just on top of the recipe. It's not a whole. I don't know if you guys want me to take the time to tell you how to make it real quick over the air.
I'll take it. Tell me how to make it.
Sure.
Okay. You well, first of all, you splice up the broccoli, you know, how to take the hard pieces off, but then you put it in a parboil for a few minutes.
Just so it's bright, right? Just so it's a bright green, not too far?
Yeah, so it's kind of like, still kind of hard. And then you take a baking sheet or a foil pan, whichever you choose, and then put light, you know, like nonstick, like a little bit of butter on the bottom.
Sure.
And then you you line up each of the tree pieces. You know, you could like you do like a crisscross. I mean, like the tree end of one, and it's kind of like back and forth.
Okay.
And then you put strips of Velveeta cheese on each one of those.
I'm so hungry right
now. And then then you crumble up the Ritz crackers on top and just put it in the oven for at least a few minutes till you see the cheese melt.
I'm doing it. I'm doing Velveeta cheese bake. I think I'm calling it that. I don't know if I'm going to call it Gwen's Velveeta cheese bake. Yes, Paul?
No, so Gwen, you agree that broccoli and cheese belong together, right?
Pretty much so. Is someone telling you they don't?
Yeah, no, he's saying that. No. Wait, Paul. He's saying that French fries and cheese don't belong together.
Well, you know, it kind of adds a little bit of a flavor. I mean, a lot of people, I think, do all kinds of things with the green vegetables. They'll either put Italian dressing on them, like on the green beans, or lots of butter. I mean, I used to, but now I got into putting like different flavors and stuff on the greens. It's kind of cool.
I'm going to go ahead and say that Gwen seems like a cheese fries kind of gal to me once in a while.
No, I think she just said the opposite.
Yes. No, she said she'd go.
I like a little of everything, but I just want to let you guys also know why I listen to you guys every single night on the way home from work. And I work downtown real close to you guys.
Oh, you do? Well, I'm so glad to hear from you, Gwen. You know, Gwen, can you hold on the line? Craig, I know that we have some gifts to give away. What do we have left? Do we have the, let me take a look. Gwen, we're going to pick out a prize during the break. I'll figure out what that's going to be. Craig's going to get your information. And thank you so much. Be safe when you're driving home. More after this.
Thank you. Okay, cool.
Bye, thanks. Bye. See giant balloons, marching bands, floats, celebrities, and more all at Chicago's parade, the McDonald's Thanksgiving Parade this Thursday, November 24th. The parade marches down State Street between Congress Parkway and Randolph Street. There's so many ways to enjoy this parade. Watch from the street. Buy an individual sponsorship at chicagofestivals.org to watch the parade from the VIP stands in the TV zone or see it live on WGN-TV starting at 8 a.m. You can go to wgnradio.com/events or chicagofestivals.org. This is brought to you by McDonald's, owner-operators of Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. I love a parade. I used to come down here every Thanksgiving to co-host with Steve Cochran beginning around, I want to say 2004. That was kind of what I did every Thanksgiving. I'd get up ridiculously early because he would fill in for Spike Odell, and then I would come and co-host the show with him, and there would be, you know, people kind of coming down early for the parade. Do you do parades?
I don't, unless it's a night parade. I'm not a morning person.
What night parades have you been to?
I think I've been to one night parade, and I can't remember what it was, but it was like a night parade.
Esmeralda, are you
it
familiar with these
concert.
Night parades?
Maybe.
Were you, I used to drink a lot.
Were you walking? Were you watching people walk?
I think it was like a homecoming parade of some sort that was at nighttime.
There is the Halloween parade in Boys Town.
That's at night, yes. Yeah, I don't think I've ever
been to a parade on time. I went to the Southside Parade once, and by the time we got there, it was already done.
My biggest parade I go to every year is the Memorial Day Parade in Norwood Park. I've been going to that one since I was little, since I was 5 years old.
What time does that start?
I want to say it starts at 10 a.m. Mm-hmm. Too early.
Because you got to get there by 9, right?
Mm. Well, I drive the fan van now through the parade that I've been going to since I was a little girl. That was really cool. So you have to come ride the van with me next year.
So can I get there right at 10?
You can get there right at 10. Okay, I can pick you up along the parade route if you like. Just jump in the van while we're going.
Like, go to Hamlin on the corner. I'm like, all right, I'll be there.
We'll also be driving the Fizz so far out. You know what? Everyone, mark your calendars. The WGN fan van will be in the Memorial Day Parade as well as the Skokie 4th of July Parade. Roger Badish asked me to participate in that, so I'll be doing that as well. Also the Evanston, probably. But we are not. I don't believe we are driving the fan van in the Thanksgiving Day Parade. I wonder if I have time. Maybe I can ask them. Can I just drive the fan? I wanted to drive the fan van in the Cubs parade, but we were not asked to do that.
Do you have to have a special license for that?
You have to register. I mean, for the Cubs, obviously there was another station involved.
But it's a fan van, so it's a regular size van?
It's a regular size van. It says WGN on the side.
Isn't it a windowless van?
It is a windowless van, which was fun to drive down to Springfield when I was covering the budget crisis.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And also the thing you have to remember when you're driving the fan van is that you cannot be an aggressive driver because it pretty much screams where you're from, WGN Radio. So I can't be getting into people's business.
People won't know it's you, yeah.
Everyone, they're going to call the station. Hey, I saw the fan van go down the street the wrong way.
Who was driving it?
Patty's got the keys. So, but yes, I love driving the fan van. So I will not be. I don't think I'm going to make it down for the Thanksgiving Day parade, which sounds like a lot of fun. But I will watch it online. You can watch that.
Yeah, if you can watch it at 10 o'clock Saturdays, I like to sleep in until about 9:45.
Well, this is Thursday, so if you wait till it's Thanksgiving Day parade.
Oh, but it's after Black Wednesday. So
yeah, what's Black Wednesday?
Black Wednesday used to be a big thing when we were younger. It was like it's the biggest night in the bar scene.
That's right. And comedy clubs are hopping too on the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Yeah, the bars are slammed because everyone's coming into town.
Yep.
People are going out. They're not working on Thanksgiving Day.
It's not like, sometimes like other holidays, there's a lot of people have private parties, but mm-hmm. Black Wednesday, nobody has a private party.
Yeah.
So it's a big bar night.
And a lot of times it's the first time you come home to your townie bar.
Yep.
And get to see everyone that you from high school.
Yeah.
What are your plans for Black Wednesday, Esmeralda?
I am hosting from 2 to 5.
You're doing both Wednesday night and Thursday night?
No, wait, not Wednesday. I'm working. I'm here.
You're here with me.
I'm going to be here all week.
Okay. Try the veal.
Yeah.
And what are you doing for Thanksgiving dinner? Are you going out to Joliet and then coming back down?
Yeah.
I'm
going to, I'll be hosting Thursday. Yeah, that morning. Taking the first train, going home, and then coming back.
With Ziploc bags.
With Ziploc bags.
Yeah, probably.
Are you cooking anything for your family's dinner?
I don't know.
You're an excellent cook.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't know because I'm going to try to sleep.
Right.
And then hopefully they can deal with it. Because a lot of, they just don't know. They start bickering about things or they try to do things the wrong way.
You don't want to get in the middle of people having a specific way of putting together.
Especially the turkey. I have a way to do it, and they just sometimes, they don't get it.
They don't. But that reminds me, by the way, I have a turkey that I think my mom got like with the points, and we don't know how old the turkey is. It's been in the freezer for a while. How long do you think a turkey?
Fine.
If it's in the freezer, you're okay.
It's fine.
I had a turkey breast in the freezer for a very long time.
Do we have an estimate?
A year.
Okay. I would say this is going on a year.
Yeah, it was fine.
It was fine?
I ate it. It was fine.
All right.
She got them from her United Miles?
I think like Mariano's or like one of these stores has like points and you get something.
You don't have enough for a flight, but.
But here's your 26-pound turkey.
That's the point of the freezer, right?
Yeah. Well, now I have to thought. I believe it's a. I was listening to Dean Richards yesterday and he had the folks on from Butterball and they were saying for every 4 pounds of turkey, you have to have a whole day of the turkey being in the refrigerator. So if this is a 16-pound turkey, I'm already a day late on
you
thawing
can,
it.
You can I was looking up how to defrost it because my mom is in that same dilemma, and she'll just leave it on the counter. I'm like, oh, no, don't.
No.
Yeah, see?
That's salmonella, yeah. Right?
That's why I need to go home.
Yeah, the bacteria
immediately.
Can go. Yeah.
No, but if you put it in cold water, you just have to change it out every 30 minutes.
Right. So
it stays cold.
Right, and because the cold is like released into the water, so it's kind of like putting it in the refrigerator rather
right.
than having it the temperature drop too quickly.
And it's, I think, for every pound, every 30 minutes, you have to change it.
Right. That's what I'd heard as well. So
I'm
gonna,
that's
but what if
quicker.
I start? What if I start thawing it in the refrigerator? How do I know if it's thawed enough over the course of 3 days?
Because it's soft?
It's soft.
I don't
pliable.
Know. You're, right?
How pliable is your turkey? Craig, what are you guys doing for Thanksgiving dinner?
I'm going to South Bend to visit my brother and having Thanksgiving dinner with him and his family.
And have you done that before?
Yeah, I do. That's kind of turned into a tradition. Actually, one year they came here and then Betty and I hosted, but we couldn't make a lot of stuff in our apartment, so we just bought, I think, KFC, and that was Thanksgiving
that's
dinner.
Or
that
Boston
year.
Market does really good.
Yeah, Boston Market's
it's
a good
really
pick.
Really good stuff.
Yeah.
That's the one that's gone on North and Wells. I'm bummed.
I
used
know.
To like that when I was right there.
Yeah, that was good stuff. I like that's one of the things we didn't mention was creamed spinach. Boston Market has a really good creamed
yeah,
spinach
they have
that
great
I enjoy.
Sides.
They do have great sides.
They did.
Speaking of sides, we were asking what your favorite side dishes are. 312-981-7200 from Todd Chuchuk, I don't want to say our favorite firefighter. You shouldn't really play favorites with firefighters, but if we were going to say, I've got a few, and Todd's on the list. His favorites, cornbread casserole as the side dish. But listen to this for dessert. 7-layer bars, which has butterscotch morsels, chocolate chip morsels. I love a firefighter who would tell you about the morsels.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of makes me happy. Graham crackers, condensed milk, nuts, and coconut. I get a feeling that
awesome.
Todd's doing some of the cooking at the firehouse.
Yeah. They all are good cooks there.
They do.
Most of them,
yeah. They are very good cooks. Oh, and the other thing, we were talking earlier about my sort of unfortunate performance. I would say I never connected with the audience at Exmoor. And so I left with a bad taste in my mouth, not really feeling great about the show that I had done and had been heckled about my sons. But I consoled myself as I went to sleep because the next morning I was getting up to go shoot my first episode ever of a television series. I have a small speaking role on Chicago Fire.
That's awesome.
And it was so much fun. I had my own trailer. I had makeup and hair and makeup was done. We may be getting Monica Raymond on the show. She plays one of the paramedics. She is starting she's starting something called Unity Movement. She has been meeting with Trump supporters on at Wacker and Wabash to have a conversation. She's a libertarian who also did not vote for Trump because of a lot of social issues that she feels very strongly about. But she really wants to talk to people and hopefully listen to each other
yeah.
about both sides. She's from the point of view is like, why are we expected to get over it? And why are you so like, you know, suck it up buttercup kind of tone to both sides? So we're not, it does. I think that's for the most part, people are trying to accept what's going on. Whether they supported Donald Trump or not. Obviously, people who did they're fine with it. I had someone say, it's not going to be that bad, which is exactly what I was told when I lost my virginity. And it was actually not great.
Or so, root canal.
It was, yeah, it's not going to be that bad. It seems like it's going to be, when people say it's not going to, have you ever, and maybe I'm wrong, but have you ever seen an election where people go, well, maybe it won't be that bad? Like the fact that you even have to say that cracks me up just a little bit. Oh, by the way, Todd Chuchuk says, as far as my turkey goes, as long as there's no freezer burn. Okay, so the freezer burn on your turkey, is that when you can see like ice sort of on the skin itself? Like
That's
freezer burn on ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always like it looks like it thawed and then froze again. I like how my firefighter is looking out for my health.
I like how you look at me who has never, I haven't cooked a meal in my apartment in 10 years maybe, and I don't think my oven works.
What?
I'm pretty sure my oven doesn't work.
So you just eat out all the time?
Yeah.
Do you eat frozen meals?
I eat healthy. I mean, I eat salads once a day.
Have you ever tried like Blue Apron or any of those like, although I think that requires cooking.
Yeah, some of that stuff you have to have a working oven. And I had a conventional oven, like one of those like little, what do you call them, toaster ovens where I could like at least make bagels and stuff, and that died a couple.
Does the stovetop not work?
Stovetop works. That works. I can make noodles and soup and stuff like that. But just the oven part where you pull it.
Right.
Is that the oven? Is that what it's called?
The tray? I don't know. Like
I
the door?
I see us are all laughing. But it's really funny because like someone brought food once. Like, oh, we just have to put it in your oven. I'm like, oh, I don't have an oven.
Well, you couldn't make this. So Robert, one of our listeners, has tweeted at us that Stouffer's Welsh rarebit on broccoli, sweet potato, souffle marshmallow, mashed potatoes, and homemade bread rolls.
Did you say rabbit?
Rarebit.
Oh.
Rarebit?
You may not like that. It's cheese on bread.
I like cheese on bread. I just don't like cheese on fries.
What if it's potato bread?
Well, anything. See, the point is that... Those are potato two amazing bread. Things that are supposed to be separate. Just like
potato and bread.
No, potato bread is probably.
I don't know
not
why you're
that
parceling
good.
Out things.
Bread and cheese. Have you had a grilled cheese?
Grilled cheese is amazing.
Come on, we're going to Mother but Hubbard's for grilled cheese.
French fries are amazing. They're one of my favorite foods. So why put two? It's just it makes it too difficult.
By the way, let me throw a wrench into this. I like French fries with mayonnaise.
Yeah, no, that's great.
I like them with ranch dressing. That's
see, that's
one of
that's too. That's like almost too like the. Tart. But here's the tart. What is ranch? What is it like buttermilky? It's sort of a little sour, isn't it? Yeah.
I like it. But I mean,
how could you like ranch and not cheese? That makes no sense.
Because cheese.
Are you just trying to be contrarian?
I'm not. Okay. You and I were just talking. Like, I don't like chicken and waffles either. I think
that's madness. Oh, it's so good. Chicken and waffles, Esmeralda? Yay or nay? Yes.
It's like sweet
I'm a
and sour.
Human being.
Craig, chicken and waffles with some syrup?
Of course, I like those things.
With syrup too?
Yeah,
all
I mean,
at the same time.
Yeah, it's fine. So just good. Throw that on there.
Yeah,
I think it's those are two different flavors.
Were you the kind of kid that had to like have all your food not touching each other?
Okay. Not at all.
Which is fine. I mean, you know,
I think that's like an Orthodox Jews do that. Right?
Let me tell you another story about Griffin. Since I'm still like this woman, he didn't say that. I like this kid has always been remarkable. When he was three, around 2 years old, he would ask me every meal. He would say, "What's the healthiest thing on my plate?" And he would eat the healthiest thing first, and then he would say what's next. So, like, let's say if it was spinach and then potatoes, whatever, so like the protein. And he would always eat in the order of what was the healthiest thing on his plate. So he always eats his fruit and vegetables first. Still does. He's 13 years old. Still eats the healthiest thing on his plate.
I bet you he agrees with me on the cheese and fries thing.
He hates cheese.
Well, there you go.
He does not like cheese. He likes pizza.
He agrees with me.
He likes pizza. He doesn't like anything with sauce. So you know what's hard is when we order Mexican food and the beans always have a little bit of that. What kind of cheese is that? The Chihuahua cheese?
Chihuahua?
Chihuahua cheese, Esmeralda. You know, the little crumbles?
Oh,
I got it.
Oh.
Yeah. I love that crumbly cheese. I love that. And I always have to remember to either tell them not to put it on or I have to like get it before he does and like, because he doesn't want to know that it was even on there. So I've got to get that
off.
Yeah,
make sure.
He does not like cheese in his beans, which I can kind of, I guess I can see that.
So he doesn't
it's
like
it. Queso fresco.
Queso fresco.
Which is fresh cheese.
I like it on my beans, but Griffin does not. So yes.
But so him and I have something in common.
He likes grilled cheese sandwiches.
I love grilled cheese sandwiches.
He would, but only ketchup for his fries.
Same.
I'm a purist. Oh, no, you like your ranch.
I'll said ranch is also acceptable, but not mayonnaise.
I have to find out from Todd Chuchek about the 7-layer dessert
that
dish.
That sounds delightful.
With butterscotch and chocolate and all these wonderful things. Graham crackers. All right. More after this on 7:27. I'm going to get all my recipes together. I've got my broccoli bake with Velveeta cheese and Ritz crackers and some Welsh rarebit. It's all happening. I'm going to do all these things.
I thought you said rabbit. I don't eat cute rarebit. Animals. So.
You don't eat cute animals?
No.
All right, then. I don't have to say that. Rabbits are delicious. Tell me that you love me. Yeah. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And we are at the end of our show. If you want to tell us something good, we have a couple minutes left. 312-981-7200. I'll tell you my something good. I went to the blackout dinner last night at 6018 North. That was the folks we had in on Thursday told us about these blackout dinners. And what you do, it's this mansion in Edgewater. They bought this building, and unfortunately there was some flooding, some pipes burst. They had to gut all the walls and rip out a lot of flooring. And she's she works at the Museum of Modern Art. So she, or the MCA, Contemporary Art, MCA. So she, Trisha, has turned this house while it's being renovated and all these like bare walls, you know, down to the studs. She's turned it into an art gallery where artists can come in and put in all installations. There's some sculpture there. There's a whole wall of leaves. An artist collected thousands of leaves, dipped them all in beeswax and has hung them. And it's a whole wall of leaves. It's really beautiful. There's also like this fish line art that was on the ceiling and down in the basement. Really wonderful artwork. And then she, so then you are, you know, we started with some wine and cheese and snacks on the first floor. Figs and cheese is one of my favorite things, by the way. But then you're led upstairs by small groups into rooms that are progressively darker and darker by your server that's going to take care of you for the night. The servers are all visually impaired from Chicago Lighthouse, and they, and you are in a room in complete darkness. Absolutely. I mean, like, you close your eyes, open your eyes. It's the exact same effect.
Wow.
And we ate in the dark, and it was absolutely lovely. It was a bit of a fundraiser for the, you know, this museum, this venue, and really loved it. I took Dr. Charles Turk with me, and it was fun. It was interesting because without, you know, when you're sitting at a table with people you don't know, without visual cues, I had no idea who I was sitting next to. Charles was on the other side of the table from me. And it was Adrian and Roberto and Ellie were the three folks at my table that we were talking to. And it was really just a great experience.
Were you, did you have lights when you got to the tables or you
nothing?
Had to walk?
You had to walk in darkness. Your server guided you to the table, helped you sit down. And it was weird too because I had to follow her hand to where my glass was, like just to kind of orient, you know, get oriented with where everything was. It was really lovely. And experiencing food, great food, by the way. I have the hopefully we'll have them in studio sometime, but really unbelievable food. It was
I need to see my food.
You need to see your food. Yeah, yeah, it was weird. It was strange because you also have that, like, you can't quite, you don't know what you're eating. Like, there was a rapini.
Yeah,
there was rapini, and like it felt like a cracker, and like some people weren't finding it like right away. So I was like, oh, there's a cracker, and then people would sort of, oh, I found it too, because just sort of stumbling across. No, because
no,
the food was almost
broken.
No, I know, isn't that surprising? Nothing got spilled, as far as I know. But that's my something good. That's was awesome. The wonderful blackout dinner. How about yourself, Paul?
I got to open for Gary Gulman, who's one of my favorite comedians,
right,
last Thursday. And he was backstage during my set. He said he likes to watch his openers, and I could hear him cracking up during my set, which was like the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, that's
me.
Great.
Yeah, like making one of your favorites laugh is pretty cool.
And he's a good guy, too.
Super that's nice
great
guy.
Great to hear.
Yeah.
Craig, tell me something good.
Betty just got one of her first like report cards from school back, and she's getting straight A's.
Yay!
So that's awesome.
And we never doubted it for a second. That's awesome.
Nope.
Congratulations, Betty. Esmeralda, you got something good for us?
I'm still doing that yoga stuff.
Excellent. It's that thing with the yoga and the stretching.
I love
it's
yoga.
It's good for you. It's very healthy.
It's like 10 minutes of me going,
And also, by the way, Nick D is off tonight, so Dane Neal will be in for him, and you can look forward to that. Pete McMurray will be in for Steve Cochran in the morning. He'll have John O'Hurley on at 8:40, and Carrie Elwes. He gets Carrie Elwes at 9:10 a.m. I'm so jealous. Come on in, Dane. How's it going? Dane is up next on 720 WGN. So how's it going, Dane? Oh, nice hat. Hey, Dan, how's it going? So Dan Long is producing for you?
Yeah, he's great.
Very cool. What's coming up on the show?
Well, we're going to extend some of the Thanksgiving item.
Because
you think something that's so traditional. I mean, if you got pilgrims in the team photo, you figure it's been around a while. You've gotten time to tweak it and make it right. Mm-hmm. But it's neat to see all the different opinions, what people have. Turkey, that is kind of the star of the show. But all these little things on the side. I love the whole, the stuffing muffins. I mean, that's just...
Oh, yeah. I love making those. It's delicious.